Let the church say amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Isabel family. We're about to have some church there with the Happy Goodman family breaking out. And I love that Southern gospel sound, what I grew up on. I had me a quartet when I was 10 years old. Little David and the Disciples. And I had a business card, and down at the bottom it said, David Gallimore, manager. But we had a great time back in the day, traveling from church to church, singing. We always liked it when we'd have such a great service, the preacher didn't get to preach. And then God called me to preach. And I still love being in those services where we just start worshiping and the freedom of the Spirit takes control of the service. But I do like to preach. And so get your Bibles in here this morning. Go to 1 Peter in your New Testament, chapter 1. As you're getting that, I read you a piece from a little boy yesterday. Why he believed in God. We're working on getting that copied. Hopefully we'll have it for you tomorrow. But I love it when the children come up and hand me stuff. This was in my room over here when I arrived the other day. Who is Maddie? Anybody help me with that? I love this. I want to meet her before the week's over. But had a little gift basket with some snacks in it in the room. There's a heart on this side, and then it says, from Maddie, I hope you love your biscuit. So that's going to be a keeper. I'm going to bring that home, put it in my file. I focused yesterday on the subject of seeing God clearly, and I just want to pick back up on that today. I challenge you, instead of focusing all your time on your problems, focus on how big your God is and how able God is. The things of this world pale and grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I think sometimes the children do have a real simple understanding of who God is. I love their innocence. Here's a few from Sunday school teachers asking their kids to write down their prayers. Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There is nothing good in there right now. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I asked for was a puppy. Dear God, I read the Bible. What does beget mean? My mom and dad won't tell me. I love this one. Dear God, is it true my dad won't get in heaven if he uses his golf words in the house? Anybody that's ever played golf would understand that one. Dear God, I like the story about Noah, the best of them all. You really make up some good ones. About one more. Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that, or was it an accident? How big is God? The challenge I'm going to give you today, He's big enough to keep you secure. And I've been doing something here this summer, and I'd ask you to do it. Take the first 5 minutes of every day and just focus on how big God is and how great God is. Get up early and go out and watch a sunrise and just let Him speak to you through the vastness and the majesty of His creation. How big is God? He's big enough to keep us secure. 1 Peter chapter 1, let me give you the context. You remember during the earthly ministry of Jesus here on earth, Peter is the one that again many times is stating with good intention what he's going to do. He's pretty sure of himself. And yet, over and over again, Jesus would have to rebuke him. And sometimes we kind of get after Simon Peter, but I got to tell you, I love Simon Peter in Scripture. We can all relate to this guy. And he over and over again would try and remember when Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you." Isn't it good to know that God's praying for us today? Ever interceding for us? "I've prayed for you that when you are established in the Lord, you will strengthen the people." Now that's what Jesus had prophesied to Peter while he was here on this earth. And it's interesting, is it not? When you come to these epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, the writing of Peter is strengthening the church. He's doing exactly what God said he would do once he got established in the faith. And the time frame of this writing in 1 Peter, let me just give you the context. It's A.D. 64. It's during the month of July, and Rome is burning to the ground. Tradition, although not proven, says that the Roman Emperor Nero literally set his own city on fire and sat on his balcony playing the violin as he watched Rome burn. The bottom line is this: Christians were blamed for the destruction of Rome. And that's where the persecution of the church just intensified. And it's to those people Peter is writing and is going to tell them, your God is big enough to keep you secure. Pick it up, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect." Now, there's going to be some interesting theological terms in this first chapter of 1 Peter. "To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood." Isn't that an incredible description of the Trinity? Right there in verse 2. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." He's talking to people that are being persecuted. He's talking to people that are going through hard trials, facing the possibility of death every day. And he's given them good news. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." I'm telling you, you can trust your God today. He's big enough to keep you secure whatever you're going through. Now let's just keep reading. Verse 6. "In all this you greatly rejoice." Oh yes, even in difficult times, in hard times, "though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come," there's a purpose to it, "so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have never seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, as we look at this Word, I pray it will bring encouragement to hearts in here this morning. We want to focus on just how great you are, how powerful you are, the provision that you have made for us in the giving of your Son, the giving of your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would rise above the stress and the worry and the fear and the doubt and even the persecution that sometimes we face. And Lord, we would leave here today knowing that we are safe and secure in your hands. We pray this in Christ's name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Real quick, four things. How we can know that we are secure in Jesus Christ. Number one, we are chosen of God. Write that down. We are chosen of God. And again, it's interesting, the Trinity is spelled out in verse 2. God the Father chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, isn't that incredible? Somebody say amen. Before we were ever thinking of Him, He had thought of us. He chose us. Now, if we have a little time, I might even do what Wayne's going to do on Friday. I'd already thought of that, Wayne. We must be on the same wavelength. When we get done with a sermon, I think there needs to be a response, and a lot of times it's coming down to an altar, but sometimes I just like to talk about the message and discuss a few things. And in a group this size, it can be a little difficult at times, but if we get a chance, we may do that in a few moments. What does it really mean when God chose us before the foundation of this world? Questions about predestination come to mind. I got a letter in the mail not too long ago, and it was one of these things that makes you really think you're a winner. It started off like this: you have been chosen. You ever got one of those letters? But now, I'm a strong proponent of Wesleyan Arminian theology. I believe in free will. God has chosen us to be His. It's His will. We don't have to pray if it's God's will for someone to be saved. It is God's will. Whosoever will can come to me. But now, something has to take place on our end of this. God chose us before the foundation of the world. Jesus, God the Son, chose us on Calvary's cross. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He did it for you and I. And then the Holy Spirit chooses us and bears witness to our spirit that we're children of God the day that we are saved. He chose us. Now we choose Him. That is how this works. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, again, playing out in the neighborhood. Most of the kids in my neighborhood were bigger than I was, a little older than I was. And it kind of put me in a disadvantage playing sports when I was very young, but it toughened me up, and eventually I was one of the older ones, and it got fun. But I remember my hero in the neighborhood was a guy named Mike Keyes, and he was probably 5 or 6 years older than I am. And I'm talking about when I'd have been 11, 12 years old, and he's 17, 18 years old. He was the captain of the high school football team. I mean, he was my idol. I wanted to be like Mike. I really did. And I remember when we'd have the backyard ball games, you'd pick teams. And you normally got the two best players, they would be the captains. And you'd all line up in a row, and those two captains would start picking their team. And they'd call out the names. And I remember as a little boy hoping, wishing that Mike Keyes, my hero, would choose me. And I'd be ready to go, and I'm telling you, there were times when I didn't even get picked. And that was so sad when you kind of dropped your head and you had to go sit on the sideline while everybody else played. But I remember distinctly the very first time Mike Keyes, my hero, chose me. Man, I gave that game everything I had. I put everything I had into that because I had been chosen. Let me tell you something. The God of this universe, your creator, has chosen you. And he's got a plan and a purpose. And even though you may feel scattered like the early church today and you've got problems and you're suffering, I promise God can handle whatever you're going through. He's got a plan and a purpose. He has chosen you. Now, we sing sometimes some poor theology. The message may be good and make us feel good. Here's an example. I love the song, but it's not good theology. Hallelujah, I have found him. We didn't find him. He came looking for us. He's the one that initiated this. The very fact that we can even think of God is because he gives us that ability to be drawn to him. When I was in high school, I worked a job for about a year and a half. And I think it's good for young people to work a job. It gives you a good work ethic, get started in life. But I worked in a grocery store. And I'll never forget this. It was Saturday morning before Christmas. And the store's packed. Everybody's getting the last minute supplies for the big meal. And I was on the cereal aisle stocking shelves when I saw a little boy that obviously had gotten away from his mom or his dad. And the little guy was lost. And the realization was setting in. And I could see the guy, he was just kind of whimpering to himself and crouching down. And it didn't take long. He got in the floor and almost just crawled into a fetal position and had his thumb in his mouth and he's just crying and sobbing softly. Well, I should have got involved right away, but I thought, I'm going to watch this. And I think I know how it's going to turn out. And sure enough, it didn't take long. At the end of the aisle, I saw a man who had left his grocery cart behind. And he was going up and down that store, up and down the aisles, looking for his lost son. And again, I should have waved at him, and we could have solved it a whole lot earlier, but I said, this is going to be beautiful. I want to watch. And the guy keeps looking, and the little boy, all he's doing is crying. Thumb in his mouth. And all of a sudden, the dad came down the aisle, came up behind the little guy, and he turned him around, picked him up, and you know what the little boy said? Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad I finally found you. Little boy hadn't done nothing but lay in the floor and cry with his thumb in his mouth. We didn't find God. He came after us. You be encouraged today. He chose you. Jesus chose you with the silver of his tears, the gold of his blood. He died for you. And the day that you accept his finished work on Calvary, the Holy Spirit chooses you and bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. How do we know that we are secure? We are chosen of God. Number two, we are children of God. Now, this is beautiful. The scripture says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. This is the beauty of salvation. We come into this world walking away from God, all of sin, come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. But conversion, repentance is turning around. Paul writes in his epistles that our first birth was disappointing. as excited as we are when that little baby is born, and it is incredible, the gift of human life. But Paul said that first birth, the earthly birth, the physical birth, is disappointing because we're already wrapped in sin. We have a nature, a bent towards evil. And yet, God, in His mercy, the Scripture says. Now, you know the distinction between grace and mercy. We use the words interchangeably a lot of times, but I love these definitions. Grace is you and I getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is you and I not getting what we do deserve. And in His great mercy, He has provided a new birth for us. John 3:3 tells us that we must be born again. There was a guy down in Florida, businessman in the community, got to his office, got his coffee, and opened the paper back in the day, was reading through the newspaper, got to the obituary column, and he saw his name there. Now, that'll wake you up. If you're reading the newspaper in the morning, get to the obituary column, and your name is in it. And he read down through the details, and sure enough, it was him. Well, he got on the phone and called the newspaper and said, there's been a mistake, and you need to fix this. And he didn't really get anywhere with the lady on the phone, so he gets in his car, drives to the newspaper office, goes right to the editor's desk. Holding up the newspaper article, he said, sir, you've got to correct this. You printed in your newspaper today that I have died. You can see I'm very much alive. And I have a business here in the community. I thrive on positive publicity. This is not good positive publicity. The editor said, well, obviously we've made a mistake. I'm very sorry, sir. But he said, we have a policy at this paper. We never print retractions. Well, that infuriated the businessman. He said, you got to fix this. You printed in the paper, I've died. My family's already getting phone calls. You need to fix this. And the editor said, well, calm down. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, buy a paper tomorrow morning. Look in the birth column. I'll put your name there and you can start all over again. Now, that's a little silly story, but that's exactly what happens when we die to sin and self, and Jesus comes and saves us, and the Holy Spirit then empowers us. We're chosen of God. We're children of God. Number three, we're heirs of God. We're heirs of God. Now, this scripture, again, it's just packed full of great truth. Praise be to the God, verse 3. And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, remember who He's talking to. Christians that have been persecuted. Christians that have been torn from their families. Christians that are on the run. They've lost their homes. They really have nothing as far as this world is concerned. And yet, Peter writes to them, strengthening them. Your God is big enough to keep you secure. You're chosen of Him. You're a child of God. And you've got an inheritance with Him. Now, in their minds, an inheritance, to the Jewish mind, the inheritance was always the promised land. How many know they still believe in the promised land? And that land is very special. And yet they have been kicked out of their land. And they're on the run. Put it in the kind of language we'd understand today. Lost my job. Lost my pension. I have nothing. And yet the word of the Lord comes and says, oh, yes, you do. You have an inheritance. You see, as a child of God, you're in the family. You're in the will. You get everything. The Bible talks about you and I being co-heirs with Jesus Christ. It's an amazing concept. We are heirs of God. To the Christian today, oh, there's a heaven that awaits us, but Jesus wants us to have some heaven on earth, right here, right now. So I trust and pray, whatever you're going through today, be encouraged. You're chosen of God. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. And then number four, we are kept by God. Now I love this. We are kept by God. This inheritance, verse 4 into verse 5. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now this word kept literally means to be constantly guarded by God Himself. That's pretty secure, isn't it? I have a good friend that's a Southern Baptist preacher. And we have grown very close down through the years. I offered to let him preach in my Nazarene pulpit one Sunday years ago, and he couldn't believe that I'd let a Baptist come into my pulpit. And it took him quite a while before he ever trusted me enough to let me preach at his Baptist church. But he finally did. And man, we found out down through the years, we're a lot closer to one another in experience with God rather than in our terminology of our theology. And I really believe that. And so we have this little joke, and you've heard it before. He tells me that I'm eternally secure and don't know it. And I tell him he's sanctified entirely and don't know it. And that's some of the questions we might raise here in just a moment. How secure are we? I kind of grew up in an environment. I love my heritage, but man, there was some harshness, some coercion. And you talk about guilt trips. I kind of grew up with this mindset that God was just waiting on me to mess up so He could kick me out. And that's no way to live. That's not freedom. That's bondage. We've been set free. And so somebody pick up on that in here today. You are secure. Now the Bible has a lot of ifs. Amen? That little two-letter word, IF, becomes a big word. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. If we confess our sin. So I promise you folks, we are secure today, but there are some conditions on that. We got to stay in the Word, amen? We got to put Christ first in every aspect of our lives. But grab hold of this today. We are kept by God. I want you to be able to leave here today knowing that you are secure. Now here's my point. Peter learned he couldn't keep himself. Over and over again, I'll never forsake you, God. Yes, you will. Before that rooster crows. Three times you'll have denied me. Never! And yet he does. And you talk about feeling beat up, beat down, not worth anything, scattered, chaotic. But I promise you, your God loves you so much. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. You can be secure in knowing that when you can't keep yourself, He will keep you safe and secure. Now, I've told you this camp. I'm very transparent when I preach. Fasten your seatbelt. You know what I pray every day? God, protect me from myself. I had a sign in my office in the church one time. You know what it said? If I could kick. And I mean haul off and kick. If I could kick the person most responsible for my troubles in life, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Now, did you get that? When do we get in trouble? When we make bad decisions. Now, I talked to you last night about a working compass. Holy Spirit, be my guide. You know what? He will. And so I'm going to pray just like Peter prayed. I can't keep myself. I'm trusting in your Spirit to lead me, guide me, direct me. How many know what I'm talking about when I say you get these little Holy Spirit nudges? And you get that still small voice that speaks to you and kind of says, I don't think I'd do that. You get a Holy Spirit check that says, I don't think I'd go there. If we're obedient and we're in tune to the Word of God and the will of God, I pray with people every week. Oh, we need to know God's will. You want to find God's will for your life? Get in the Word of God. The Word of God reveals the will of God. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us you can actually know the good will of God, the pleasing will of God, and even the perfect will of God. As long as we're trusting in Him to keep us. Now you've heard this as a benediction out of the book of Jude. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. Amen. 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 How big is your God today? He's big enough to keep you secure. Now, I'm just going to be real brave. And I'm going to step down here, and I want you to talk back to me for a moment. What does it mean to be secure? And again, we're not all of the same theological persuasion in here, but I love to tell people that I am a Christian before I'm a Nazarene or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Wesleyan. I'm a Christian. And I think we all are a lot closer in our experience with God than we are in our terminology. So I'm going to open it up here just for a moment. If you have questions that I can't answer, we got Wayne over here. We got Doug Carter, Dan Schaefer over here. They'll be glad to answer them if I can't. My dad said one time the reason he liked preaching instead of teaching, he said when you're preaching, people don't ask questions. But I think this is how we learn the best. What does it mean to be secure? And isn't it interesting? I'm going to have a little fun with you. Before I open it up for questions, I waited for Melvin Whitley to leave. You tell him I said that, Janice. Because I know where the first question would have come from. Anybody? Anybody want to make a comment on that? He's able to keep us from stumbling, from falling. Any comments on that? Just want to open it up. Let's talk. Not everybody at once. Way in the back, Gideon. Amen. Amen. I hope everybody could hear that, understand that. Again, a reference back to His mercy. And now this new birth. Here's the beauty of the sanctified life, the deeper life, the surrendered life. I tell my church, I'm not real concerned about what term you use. Just so you ask God for everything He has for you. And now that we have been renewed, it's no longer me. But it's Christ living within me. Man, that puts the ball in His court. I don't have to, it takes the pressure off. If I'm just, aren't you glad it's not jumping through hoops and it's not just constantly the bars changing, but we're free in Christ. Lonzie? Yeah. 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 Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we get lost a lot of times with the terminology. Doug?
David, I like to put it this way. I believe we are as secure as the promises of God.
That's good. Yeah.
But most of the promises do have an if.
Yeah, that's right.
In the book, from cover to cover.
Yeah.
Most promises have an if. I long ago concluded the two biggest words in Scripture are the word all.
Yeah. 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 If. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I hope everybody heard that. I'm secure. I'm as secure as the promises of God. That's pretty secure. And yet there's that condition of if we are faithful. Don't dare walk out of here. Say, that preacher said, I can just do anything I want, don't have to worry. God objects to that. Paul said, should we keep on sinning so that grace could abound more and more? No! Exclamation point. No! But you don't have to live with the guilt trip. I want you to be secure as you walk out of here today, not walking around with that mindset that God is out to get me and I never am going to be enough. We're free. We're free indeed. Glorious freedom. Anybody else? These are good. Yes, Jim?
Jesus paid the cost of my sin. He also left us with the Holy Spirit to lead a holy life.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. He's provided for us. And again, it's Him living within us. And then the Holy Spirit, yeah, we got to get up every day. We have to make good decisions every day, but He will prompt us. Amen? He will, if we're listening to Him, He'll lead us. He'll guide us in the truth. Now again, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not praying, don't expect the same benefit. But there is this idea that our free will surrenders to His will, and then that's how He's going to keep us. Yes?
Second Peter.
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 3.
Amen. Yeah. That's it. Amen. Amen. Nobody has to live in defeat. If we're trusting in God, there's freedom. I say praise God. All right, one more. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Wow. Preach. That's a great word. Wayne?
I like to go back to the whole bridegroom thing.
Yeah.
Where He has chosen us, He's even proposed to us.
Yeah.
And we've got to make the decision to accept. And once we do that relationship, just like He said, goes as far as the promises.
Yeah.
And allow it to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
To sever the relationship.
Yeah.
Just like it would in America.
That's right. Great example. Great example. Joe?
Yeah, I like to teach my youth about the spiritual. That the gift of life is the Lord. It's not people who are sad. It's guilt. A lot of people feel
the
enemy.
Yeah.
To the gift of life of the Lord, they are not the enemy.
Yeah. 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 Amen. Yes. That's right. That's right. Yeah. The accuser of the brethren, as the old King James says, That's right. The liar, there's no truth in him. So rebuke him. Resist him. He has to flee from us. We are free, free indeed. I say glory to God. That's it. That's it. Let's just sing that. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. Chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Stand singing again. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains. Sin I repine, Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Thank you today, Lord, for your word that never returns void unto you. It always accomplishes what you intend. And I pray that we will walk out of here in freedom today. I pray that we will know that we know that we know. Give us the assurance. We're chosen of God. We're children of God. We're heirs of God. And we are kept by Almighty God. We can't wait to see what you're going to do tonight and the remaining services of the camp. So have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go eat lunch.